Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, June 10th. I'm Evan, and you're listening to the Kinky Crafter Podcast. I went to a pretty interesting BR educational meeting tonight. We got together at the TNG happy hour beforehand, kind of hung out and got to socialize there. Managed to, it's looking like I've pretty much finalized the living arrangements for the new place I'm moving into, so I'm pretty happy about that. And I went over to the class. The class tonight was on objectification. And I thought it was pretty interesting. It's not really something I've played around with a lot. And I definitely think it's interesting just because it's a very, has a capacity for being a very, psychologically intense kind of play. I'm a big fan of fucking with someone's head along with their body because, there's really only so much you can do to their body before you have to take them to the hospital. Correspondingly, the main downside to... fucking with somebody's head is, you can't always tell where the soft spots are, where the sore bits are. Sometimes you can't even tell when you've done damage until, weeks, months, maybe even years later. And it's really hard to fix because, you don't really know what's going on there. But still, in the right circumstances, the right level of experience, the right level of familiarity and comfort between the two people involved, two or more people anyway, I think there's definitely a lot of great potential there for a really great scene. And just to sort of highlight real quick the main things that they covered in the class, they talked about objectification as a human phenomenon, outside of any kind of kink context, and how it happens in the normal vanilla world when we look at attractive people because we enjoy the way they look, we're objectifying them. That's probably the most common example. Because when you're, enjoying someone because they're attractive, it's not really anything about the person. They're just an ass that you're looking at, or, a pair of tits, tight jeans, whatever. And obviously, when you take that to a more extreme level, inside of a scene where you have like active consent and active participation of the person being objectified, that kind of takes things to a whole different kind of level. They touched on some of the main reasons for. Doing objectification type play and sort of what you can get out of it. I think one of the main things was just the sort of heightened feeling of power exchange. It's very with objectification, it's a very kind of visceral feeling. When you have somebody, I think visceral feeling isn't the right word for it. I kind of got ahead of myself there. It's very deep, I guess maybe it'd be a better way of describing it. A deep feeling of real power exchange there, because when you have somebody up against a cross and you're flogging away at them, there's that visceral component, and you feel like you're in control. But when you have somebody on their knees for an hour, serving as a table, doing nothing other than holding up your drink and being fun to look at, it's not something that they're, they're not down on their hands and knees for an hour because they like the view. They're doing it because you want them to, or because you told them to. So it's very clear and unambiguous. As far as what they get out of it and why people like why people enjoy participating in objectification. Some of it's a sometimes it can be a humiliation kind of play. And that aspect of it can be it can either be it can range from fairly heavy to almost non-existent. Somebody's just acting as a coffee table. It can be unobtrusive, out of the way, and very sort of a passive objectification. Or it can be fairly heavy, active humiliation as part of it. You're using somebody as a footstool and talking shit about them the entire time, and really getting into some fairly heavy humiliation as part of the objectification. But there's definitely a range there. You definitely don't have to have one with the other. And some people just enjoy it because it's, it helps them sort of tune things out, shut things off. It's sort of submission to the extreme where, not only are you not making any choices or making any decisions, but, you literally just have to do X, whatever that X sort of object is. You can let that define, define who you are for the, for the length of the scene, and that's all you have to worry about. If you're being a table, you don't have to worry about you know, paying your bills, dealing with your job, relationship issues, whatever. All you have to do is not move and spill the things that are set on top of you. You know, if you're being a, you know, there's also sort of the more kind of animate, interactive kind of objectification, you know, with pet play and things like that. You know, if you're being a puppy dog or a pony, again, you know, you can kind of relax and enjoy yourself and play and feel sort of free and not have to deal with all the consequences. And you know, people seem to enjoy it because they can kind of, you know, they don't have to deal with all the shit in their lives. They can just enjoy themselves and have fun and, you know, be, you know, depending on how they're orient, you know, what it is that they're getting out of it. Maybe, you know, it's either that they're able to just be themselves and not have to worry about anything else, or they can maybe completely focus on enjoying and pleasing their, you know, the master dominant top, whatever, you know, the dynamic of the scene is, you know, so that sort of being able to shut things off and kind of, you know, tune things out can be very, can be very enjoyable to a lot of people. And let's see, they also covered the different, you know, types of objectification. You know, they had it classified into, you know, basically passive objects like, you know, footrests, tables, you know, coat or hat racks, you know, having someone stand inside the door and just hold coats, and it literally acts as a piece of furniture. You know, then there are some more passive elements, but with more, you know, sort of a potential for humiliation thrown in. You have people acting as human ashtrays, human candlestick holders, depending on you know, where you put the candlestick. It could be fairly humiliating or pleasurable, or, you know, maybe both. You know, there's a lot of options there. It's going to kind of depend on, I mean, like anything else, you know, it's that kind of a scene where it's not a heavy physical element to it. You know, what's really going on is going on in the head of the person that's receiving the attention and the sensation and everything, and the person that's, you know, the person that's controlling the activity. You know, so there's a lot to play around with there. Let's see, there's sort of the, you know, active object, you know, most of that kind of tends to fall into the pet play or pony play type category, puppies, kittens, etc. Yeah, then there's the sex object category, which is, like it sounds, you know, it's the person's just being, you know, a passive instrument for pleasure. That can be, you know, taken to extremes with things like glory holes, you know, curtains, things like that, where, you know, where only part of them is, you know, showing through. You know, they just have a mouth in front of a hole, or you get the idea. You know, where the person is being used as an object for sexual pleasure without any real focus on their own pleasure or any other. You know, it's basically more of an impersonal kind of act. And those were the main types that they really covered. Some other points that I thought were sort of interesting and, you know, worth taking note of was, yeah, they talked about that, you know, it's important when you're playing with someone as an object, you know, to essentially take care of your toys, because if you mess them up, you don't get to play with them later. And also, you know, the more they enjoy the experience and the more it works for them, you know, the more likely you're going to be able to do it again, the better time everybody has, etc. So I think that's kind of important to keep in mind. And also just, you know, communication, which with anything is going to be fairly heavy. You know, it's a very important sort of aspect to things, but, you know, particularly with something that can be, well, I mean, there's a fairly heavy physical and emotional side of things, really, potentially. Physically, you know, you want to find out, you know, how are their knees, how's their back, if they're going to be doing some kind of furniture position, something like that. You want to make sure you know what their physical limits are and, you know, what their abilities are. And also just, you know, as far as the mental aspect of things, you know, you want to try to feel things out as much as you can. I mean, obviously, with any kind of emotionally heavy play, there can be, you know, unexpected landmines and things like that. But, you know, you want to do your best to try to sort of minimize those beforehand with as much communication as is effective, possible, whatever. You know, so it's just really important in a kind of play that can have such heavy psychological impact. Also, you know, they talked about just sort of keeping in mind, you know, everybody's not going to come at it from the same mindset. You know, the top in the scene might have very different sort of you know, different motivations and whatnot for, you know, what they get out of it than the bottom. But kind of ties back in with the communication. You know, it's all about figuring out how to, you know, how to have an experience that everybody enjoys, where everybody gets what they need. And also, you know, I think this is a really good point. You know, they talked about sort of starting small. You know, if you're interested in playing with objectification, you don't want to, you know, sort of go all out and, you know, you have somebody over for the first weekend if you've ever met them and expect to, you know, tie them up in a corner and put a lamp on their head and leave them there for a day or two. You know, start out with something a little mellower. You may just use somebody as a footstool for a little while, see how that goes. Sort of check on them physically and you know, mentally. You know, sort of try to closely monitor their emotional state and their physical state. You know, do a lot of sort of post scene you know, debriefing and kind of figure out what works, what doesn't. And, you know, to a certain extent, you're going to have to do that with anyone new that you play with, or anyone that you play with in a new way. Obviously, once you get a little more, you know, once you get more experience, particularly either with that person or just in experience in general, you'll have a better idea of sort of what to expect, how to handle unexpected situations, things like that. But, you know, it's always good to kind of start slow and sort of keep your head about you, you know. It's kind of keep your shit together, basically. That's about it, really. Other than that, fairly quiet day. Did manage to sleep in fairly late this morning, and decided to kind of take the day off of work and sort of take a mental health day. Once again, I think I've talked before about how I really enjoy my job because it's very flexible time wise. So that was you know, it was really nice to be able to do that and kind of sort of decompress. You know, things have been a little hectic and heavy lately. So it's nice to be able to sort of take some time and kind of go over that. As far as upcoming projects, I'm probably going to come up with something a little more interesting than the one last week. I know that probably wasn't the most exciting craft segment in the world. I'm still kind of tossing around ideas on that one. Although I have started thinking about, and this is going to be sort of a more long-term thing, I might try to break it down into a couple of different craft segments, maybe one on the planning, one on the actual construction, and then another one on the use. Yeah, basically, I'm looking at coming up with my own design for a bed frame that's useful for suspension bondage. I'm still, you know, doing some research on different designs that I've seen, different materials that are available, trying to find out some of the mechanical engineering properties, basically, of the materials, and sort of taking a look at the kind of stresses I'm going to be putting on things. But, you know, hopefully that'll come along here in the next month or two. That's really about it for the evening. You know, as always, I hope you all have a good night. And, you know, I'd love to hear any feedback from you. You know, I can be reached at Evan, EVAN, @kinkycrafter.com. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.